Oh, it's good to be together. This morning has just been amazing. Michelle starting it off with that one note and then just holding it. So good. Tyler coming up and sharing communion and talking about things perhaps we have forgotten. What Yahweh means and what it was intended for. So good. It's been a great morning, and I'm hoping that we can continue as we look into God's Word to uncover some of the things He has in store for us. Amen?
Amen.
So before we get to the verse that we're going to read today, I wanted to share a little bit about a passion I have. But it's a passion very few people know about. It's something I don't like to talk about a lot, but it's something that runs in my head often. Our family has a movie. We have a movie that we watch together. And in this movie, the gentleman, his ambition is to do the dance. And at the end of the movie, he does the dance. And he does it with the individual that is playing God in the movie. And it's a beautiful thing. They're under this tree, and he's just doing this little dance. And he's dancing with God. I think the second or third time I saw that, I started to well up. And I'm like, that's what I want to do. I want to dance. I want to dance with God. Now, I really want to just dance. I want to be able to get out there on the floor and just let it loose. But I don't have that skill. I can't hear rhythm. And I can't hear beats. And so I look like a fool. Trying to. I watch others that can, and they'll always say to me, we were doing the dance yesterday, and Giselle was going, listen to the beat. I'm like, oh, you don't know what you're asking. I mean, you might as well ask me to grow hair, because it isn't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I'm going to guess it. I'm going to hope I'm there, but I'm going to probably look like a seal floundering and trying to find my way. You know, the dance. In the scriptures, we read a lot about a dance. Some of the dances we know, some of the ones we don't, and we'll find out about this morning. I'm going to ask Chad to come up, and I'm going to ask the rest of us to stand up, please, for the reading of God's Word.
2 Samuel. David again brought together all the able men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Bala in Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim on the Ark. They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the Ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the Ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah. And to this day, that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how can the Ark of the Lord ever come to me? He was not willing to take the Ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now King David was told the Lord had blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the Ark of God. So David went to bring up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sounds of guitars. Sorry. the sounds of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would do." David said to Michal, "It was because the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his household or from his house when he appointed me ruler of the Lord's people. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death.
Father, as we enter your presence, we read the stories within Scripture, and they move us. They move us to places of joy, move us to places of confusion, and move us to places of fear, perhaps. But Father, your intent was always to move us closer to you. And so my prayer for us this morning is that your Holy Spirit will work within each of our hearts to be able to see you and see you a little bit more clearly than perhaps we did stepping into the room. We love you and pray this in your son's name. Amen. Please be seated. What a story, huh? All sorts of stuff happening in this story. All sorts of stuff. And I want to go through it. I want to go through it because I think it really builds on an idea and a premise that we've been talking about up to this point. So last week, we did a sermon, and in that sermon, there was kind of a key thought. What was the key thought for last week's sermon? Does anyone remember? The sermon's title was The Passerby? Yeah, so what was the key element? What do you think were the key takeaway for you was? Fear? Faith? The glory of God. We remember the illustration. I remember it well. Yes.
Pay attention when God passes me by.
There we go. The reason God passes us by is for us to learn something new about him. The intent was for us to have a revelation. Something different about God that perhaps we hadn't seen up to this point. And we saw with the disciples in the boat. Up to this point, they had seen Jesus as a rabbi. They had seen Jesus as a great teacher. And Tyler talked about how there was no room for that. Not with the prophecies that had been met. There was just no room for that. But the apostles didn't know that yet. We on this side of history do, but they didn't. When Jesus passed them by on the boat, he was attempting to share with them, "I'm not just a rabbi. I'm not just a good teacher. I am so much more. I'm God in flesh. And come, follow me." And so they had this revelation. And so here we read a story, and we're reading actually another revelation, another passing by of God. And it helps us to see this because not all of us are in boats. Not all of us see Jesus walking on water. But I think we can relate to what is happening in this story in a really powerful way. I have 3 points. The title of my lesson is called The Dance. My first point is The Dance of David. My second point is The Holiness of God. And my third point is God passing by. So here we're reading an interesting story again about David and him coming to power and restoring the kingdom of Israel. And part of that, in 2 Samuel chapter 5, what he does and makes the decision to do is restore the city of Jerusalem and then to bring back the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. It was in a city called Bala in Judah, and the idea that David had was he wanted to bring God back to the center of his people, which was in Jerusalem. That was the idea. That was the thought. That's what he wanted. And so he's bringing them back. He's bringing the ark back, and he's got it on a wagon, and there's some oxen that are pulling it, and they're dancing. They're dancing in front of it. They're having a great time because God was coming back. And the Ark of the Covenant is where God would rest here on this planet. That was what the Israelites believed. That was what was happening. And so God was going to be coming back to the temple, and God was going to he was going to be back in the center of the Israelite world. But something odd happens. Something odd happens. And what ends up happening is the cart rocks back and forth, and the Ark of the Covenant is about to fall off. And some guy just standing by, named Uzzah, tries to stop it. And in the stopping, he dies. We're going to get to that. But what we see here is David is dancing. David is dancing with all his heart. David is dancing with his people. He's letting it go. And we see it. Let's read about it. And I want to read it in verse 5. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. Okay, so David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord. They were worshiping God. Pretty cool. And the Bible says it was with all their hearts. They were doing it with all that they had. And this is a real challenge for us, because I think when we come together on Sunday, we have to ask ourselves, how are we worshiping God? We got to ask the question. I know for me, as every single week goes by, it can become pretty normalized. I go, I know this song. I know this verse. Or even when the music is starting, we can be in the back, and we go, let me just finish this conversation. Instead of saying to ourselves, oh, the worship of God is beginning. Let us stop. I'll pick up on this right away afterwards. But let us stop. Let us go and worship God together, all of Israel, or all of Roswell, or all of us. But worship has become to mean something very different for some of us. Worship is the commercial between the communion and the sermon. And we're missing such a powerful component of what we are able to do. I mean, did you guys listen to the saxophone playing in the background? Did you hear the voices of our teens crying out, proclaiming God? Did you hear it? And in the hearing, did you stop and go, thank you, God. Thank you. Did the songs turn your mind away from the challenges and the troubles of your life and perhaps to the greatness of God working in your life? See, that's the intent. But we're so quick to bypass the music. We're so quick to bypass the songs. And I got to tell you, the guys come up here, the gals come up here, they arrive early. They're practicing, they're praying. Levi, almost every week, leads this amazing devotional. They're trying to set their hearts to lead you. David is celebrating the return of the Ark of the Covenant back to the city of God. You and I are celebrating Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Which is greater? And so I want to call us as a church. Let us begin to take our worship service, let us take it seriously. Let us be intentional about it. Let us say to ourselves, when the music starts, I'm going to be at my seat. I'm getting there. I don't need Nichelle to hit that note for 5 minutes. That's going to hurt her voice. I don't need her to do that to get my attention. I don't need the lights to go down. It helps, but I don't need it. I will be attentive because I am here to worship. Amen. We got plenty of time to fellowship. I love the fellowship. But let us, when it's time to worship, let us worship. Amen?
Amen.
David worshiped with all his heart. It was pretty amazing that he would do that. And yet, he comes across an incident, a moment, an occurrence, and it disturbs him deeply. Uzzah wasn't doing anything wrong. Uzzah was trying to serve God. What's going on here? What's happening? And David, when this whole event occurs, David gets so angry, he's like, I'm done. The Ark of the Covenant can't come to Jerusalem because I'm in such a bad place. And so he sends it to Obed-Edom, which is kind of funny. Because Obed-Edom is a Hittite. He's not a Jew. And so the ark goes to his household, and when the ark's sitting there, you can imagine it. You know, you ever take care of someone's car, they park it in the garage. I mean, the best I've had is just oil. But Obed-Edom, he had something much more. He had blessings. He had blessings. But David had to confront something. He had to confront what just occurred with Uzzah. Took him 3 months. 3 months. 3 months the ark stayed at Obed-Edom. And he had to deal with himself. And he had to deal with what God was trying to teach him. And I think this is what's happened. And this leads me to my second point, the holiness of God. See, we believe so strongly in a Santa Claus God. We really do. We want God to let us live with our mistakes. We want God to let us not have to deal with them. And this is a challenge because that Santa Claus God is not the God we see in Scripture. So what's happening here? Is what Uzzah did so bad? And I would put this before us. What Uzzah encountered was the holiness of God. It wasn't necessarily the infraction of rules, but it was the holiness of God. Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 25, and let's look at perhaps what was going on in the background. So the Bible says, have them, in verse 10, have them make a chest of acacia wood 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold, both inside and out, and make gold molding around it. Cast four gold rings for it, and fasten them to its four feet, with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other. Then make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Insert the poles into the rings on the sides of the chest to carry it. The poles are to remain in the rings of this ark. They are not to be removed. Then put in the ark of the testimony, which I will give you. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 4. After Aaron and his sons have finished covering the holy furnishings and all the holy articles, and when the camp is ready to move, the Kohathites are to come to do the carrying, but they must not touch the holy things or they will die. The Kohathites are to carry those things that are in the tent of meeting. What do we see here? What do we see? Did Uzzah die because God was just a big old rule keeper? See, what we see is Uzzah died because David and the Israelites had forgotten. How did they carry the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem? A cart. Huh. And yet, God put four rings, two poles, and what did he say? The poles are never to come out. Why? To remind you. To carry them. So the Ark of the Covenant's not being carried. Is it covered? Doesn't say it's covered. And are there Levites around them? No. And I want us to see this because I don't want us to go too far in the character of God. Up to this point, God doesn't do anything. God's not smiting them. God's not preventing the Ark of the Covenant to be found. God's not done anything. But when holiness touches something that's unholy, the unholy gives way. God didn't want this to happen. When you touch something hot, what's inevitably going to happen to your hand? You're going to burn. I remember when I was a kid, my mom would cook bread. It's called roti. And she would cook roti on this, and she had fingers of iron. She just could touch the fire, turn it over, and she'd be talking on the phone. And I was like 4 or 5 years old. And I'm like, oh, she's touching fire. And I go, and I'm so much stronger than my mom. If she can touch fire, I can touch fire. My mom had said, don't touch the fire. And yet, in my arrogance, in my pride, I was pretty convinced I could. Did not go well. God didn't want Uzzah to die. That wasn't what he was looking for. He hadn't killed him up to this point, even though they hadn't been following all the rules. God is not about being a rule follower. God is about not being forgotten. God wants to not be forgotten. The holiness of God. We must remember he is a holy God who desires for us to approach him. Approach him in Christ. All right, let's continue. My third point, God passes by. So David comes across this moment of this crisis of faith. And I think many of us can relate, can we not? In this church, we have had so many tough, tough things happen. I just hear about them. And many of us, because we've lived a little bit of life, have experienced the challenges and continue to experience them even now. And I think we can relate because David had that moment in time. Because when the crises come in our lives, when it's a health issue, when it's a job issue, when it's a life issue, when it's a children's issue, when it comes at us, we turn to God and go, where are you? What are you doing? What's happening here? Explain yourself. That's what was going on with David. He's like, I got to put God over here. I got to put the Ark of the Covenant over here, and I've got to go deal with this. And why? I really believe David dealt with it. David dealt with what he had forgotten. He was picking up some very important things about God that I think are essential, really essential to what happened with Uzzah. I think God passes by. So David hears, 3 months later, Obed-Edom is being blessed. He's like, they're not even Israelites. And I think in those 3 months, he'd been going over the event over and over again. I think he perhaps went to the scriptures, perhaps even the ones we just read in Exodus and Numbers, and heard, hey, listen, the Ark of the Covenant, there's a way that it's meant to be moved. There's a way that it's meant to be carried. Let's read verse 13 back in 2 Samuel chapter 6. We'll start in verse 12. It says, "Now King David was told, 'The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the Ark of the Covenant.' So David went to bring up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of God, David, with rejoicing." Listen to this, because this is a change. "When those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all of Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets." What do we see here? I think David learned. God passed by. David learned that God's not this evil, manipulating being that's just playing games with my life. God has a plan. God is moving. And God wants to be with me. When he hears about the blessings of Obed-Edom, he's like, "I know God wants to be with his people." And he goes back and he retrieves the Ark of the Covenant, but retrieves it differently than he did before. This time, he's not fully dressed. He's in a linen ephod. And he's dancing around like crazy. This time, the Ark of the Covenant's not being placed on a cart, but is being carried appropriately. This time, it's so very different. God wants to be with him, and God is. And what's the consequence of God passing by David in this moment? What is the consequence of the event as David learns and David grows with God? What is the consequence? So it says previously, earlier on in 2 Samuel, it says David danced with all his heart with the Israelites. He worshiped with all his heart, right? Now his worship wasn't just with all his heart. It was with all his reputation. It was with everything that was part of him. Do you see the evolution and the change that occurred? He went from just dancing, just singing, just with the instruments, to now not caring at all. I think as a church, we need God to pass by. We need God to come. And when we, what begins to happen is we begin to deal with the challenges of our lives. Because David did. He didn't pretend. And what's beautiful is God led him. God didn't scold him. God didn't yell at him. God was patient with his grief, with his mourning, with his pain, and with his questions. God allowed him to have that space to find out who he is. And David did, 3 months later. And at this point, David is crazy happy. Clothes can't stay on him. He's so happy. He's embarrassing his wife. He's so happy. We will know. We will be able to see within us the growth of God passing by when we've started to deal with some of the challenges of our past, of our hearts, of our lives. And our worship becomes different. I love how much on fire this group is. Pretty awesome, huh? But I want that fire to spread. Not because it's emotional. I want it to spread because each of us are watching God pass by. Each of us are learning something new about God. Each of us is seeing what God is doing in our pain, in our hurt, in our blessings, and in our lives. God is working. And when we see that, Uzzah is still not, he didn't miraculously come back to life. But David is able to understand what happened and is able to embrace God fully. It's pretty cool, huh? Pretty cool. I love the fact that David did this. I love to watch the evolution of David. But did you know there was another dancer? Another dancer in a linen ephod. And he wasn't dancing in joy. Let's read about him in John chapter 19. Because this is the dance that I believe drives all of us. In John chapter 19, verse 16, the Bible says, "So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, 'Do not write the King of the Jews,' but this man claimed to be the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.' When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining." Jesus is crucified, and he's crucified with just his undergarment, the linen ephod. And so, for those of us who are not familiar with crucifixion, crucifixion is a brutal, brutal way of torture and eventual death. And what happens in crucifixion is they place a nail here, here, and through your feet. And so you're hanging on these two nails. And your chest constricts. The muscles tighten up. The cramps are incredible. And you can't get any air in. And so you have to push on the nail in the feet to try to get release that tension, take a grasp of air in, and then let go and breathe it out. Over 6 hours, Jesus went up and down, up and down. Some have called it the dance of death. You see, Jesus in the linen ephod, risen up for the world to see, he danced for us. David danced in rejoicing for the Ark of the Covenant to come back. Jesus dances for us with the hopes that we will return. Not the promise that it'll happen, but with the hopes that we will return. What is our response? Our response as men and women is to ask the question, why? Why would God do this? What was he thinking? Why would he dance this way? I think he dances this way for the same reason David did, because of the joy set before him. The joy set before David was the Ark of the Covenant coming back and be central to the Israelite nation. The joy set before Jesus, though, was you. You coming back into his kingdom. You coming back into his family. You returning. If you're visiting with us, this is the God we worship. We worship this God. This God that, hey, David danced for joy. Jesus danced to the point of death for us, hoping that we will come back. For those of us that have been around for a while, be reminded. Be reminded that there were multiple dances that occurred within Scripture. This dance was for you and I. There was no ark. It was with the hopes that you and I would come back. So what are we to do? What are we to do? Last week, I gave us a challenge of how we could see God passing by. Do you guys remember the challenge? The challenge was simple. It was Matthew chapter 25. It was to see the poor. It was to see those that perhaps do not have, the mumsers that surround us, and to reach out and engage with them, to love them, to nurture them, to walk with them. And the Bible says that as we give to them, we're giving to God. He is passing by, and I believe each of us gets to learn something very new about God.